Allison Carter with the Milestones Podcast. This is episode 38, and today we'll be discussing grasp development for handwriting. To start things off, let's take some time and conduct an evaluation. In my therapy practice, I do evaluations with my clients to get an idea of where they are when I first meet them, and to set a plan of where we will go from there. You can be my evaluator and help set up a plan of where this show will go in the next few months or years. Let's talk about the ways that we can grow the show and community together, and the ways you can help support me and support my efforts in getting that done. Guys, every day I put up a list of items on my website. These are items I personally use in my therapy practice and things that I think are helpful for parents, grandparents, and therapists. Please go to my website at mymidwesttherapy.com and check out all of those items that I have reviewed for you. If you like an item or are interested in an item, please purchase it through my Amazon store, which you can link to directly from my website. I get a very small kickback if you purchase these items through my link. Please remember in the future that if you will do all of your Amazon shopping through my link, it won't cost you any more, and it will help support the show. Another way you can help is to go to iTunes and rate my show. Please leave a comment so that I can get an idea of who is listening and what you like about the podcast. This will help grow the show by giving it more exposure and maybe bumping it into the new and noteworthy section or the what's hot section on iTunes. The more listeners that we can get to download the Milestones podcast, the more services that I can provide for listeners who are moms and dads, grandparents and teachers, and people who work in the therapy communities. There will be more information on these ideas in the coming months. You can also follow me on Instagram at Milestones Podcast, or you can follow me on Facebook at My Midwest Therapy. All of these things will help support the show, and I really enjoy getting the feedback and the support from the community. To this date, I would like to say that I have received 5 written reviews on iTunes and less than $5 total in kickbacks through the Amazon links. I think there may be an idea out there that I'm crushing it on Amazon or that I'm getting rich on it, but I have made less than $5 in 4 or 5 months. I have enjoyed following everyone on Instagram, and I continue to get new followers every day. This seems to be the most popular thing for me right now. I really do love reading the stories people post about their own children and their day-to-day experiences in raising them, especially the parents and families who are sharing information about what works for their child, what it's like to go places or even just trying to manage sensory needs and how that changes from day to day. I would really appreciate your support, your feedback, your questions and comments about how to make the show better, and your thoughts about the show in general. I have received some emails, and I really enjoy getting those also. When you've been working on something for 4 or 5 months of your life and learning podcasting and how to do all of this, it is nice to get feedback, and it lets me know you are getting something out of all the work I put in to getting each episode ready and putting it out there for you. The feedback gives me a positive feeling about the show, and it helps me keep going. This podcast has listeners in over 26 countries, as far away as Japan. I have people listening in places like Zimbabwe, Philippines, Australia, Canada, not to single anyone out, but just to give you an idea of some of the places, and almost all 50 states in the United States have listeners now. Every time I post a new show, I can see there are new listeners, and I can tell that some people are listening all the time. I can see this from the number of downloads on each episode, so that is a helpful way for me to know that there are actually people out there listening. I know from the numbers that you're out there. Numbers are great, but they are just numbers. What I don't know is, who are you? Why are you interested in the show? What do you do? What is your story? Is there anything else you want to know about? What are your thoughts about the show? These are all things that I want to know. This is information that will help us grow this show and make it a community of resources and support for each other. One of the things I'm working on to build on our community is a business page. It is a work in progress, and you may have seen that on my website, there is a new page on it with a map under business membership. Once it's up and running, I hope to grow the community and help provide a place for people to find resources and businesses in their area. I want to add a list of contractors for each state and country as much as possible. It will be an inexpensive way to advertise your business for therapists and doctors, people who sell special needs toys or equipment, contractors who can work on bathrooms or things in the house to make it easier for people to be independent. For example, installing grab bars or building ramps to people's front doors, things like that. Really trying to build a community of people and businesses and resources in your areas. But I need to know that I have your support to continue and move ahead with all of those things. If you have any feedback on this business membership page, I would also love to hear about that. The easiest ways to contact me directly are either on Instagram or through my email, allison@mymidwesttherapy.com. I appreciate the support and feedback that I have received so far, and I look forward to growing the show in community with you guys. To follow up with that, first of all, I'm so glad to be back recording again finally. That was a very long space in between shows. First, everyone in my family ended up getting sick at one point or another during the past 2 weeks, and then we all felt better just in time to take a short trip over the Labor Day weekend. But we're back on track now, and I'm ready to get going again. I want to thank everyone who has been supporting me lately. I have been getting a lot of emails from listeners, and it really makes me feel good to hear from you guys. I've been getting some great feedback on what people like and what you want to hear more about in the future. Keep those emails coming, please. They help me keep this show moving forward. I know it takes a little extra time to send those to me, and I want people to know that I do appreciate you taking that time out of your day for me. One final thing, and then I'll move on to today's show topic. I also wanted to thank those of you who have been supporting me by doing your Amazon shopping through my website. It really does show me that you are out there, you are listening, and that you want to encourage me to continue putting out more shows. In one of the emails I received recently, the listener asked me to do a show about grasp development and handwriting, so I'm going to attempt to do that today. The research study for today is called Pencil Grasp in Children's Handwriting Legibility During Different Length Writing Tasks. It was published in 2001 in the American Journal of Occupational Therapy. The purpose of the study was to look at the influence of pencil grasp on handwriting legibility during short and long writing tasks. They studied 46 students who were considered typically developing. All of the students were in the fourth grade. The study was done using the regular writing assignments given in the classrooms. One of the groups was asked to do a creative writing assignment. Another group was asked to copy things from select passages onto paper that's relevant to their class studies. And another group of kids was also asked to copy passages from handouts they were given. Some of the passages were short and some of them were longer. And the children were asked to copy some of the passages in cursive and some of them in manuscript. The researchers looked at the legibility of the writing samples using the evaluation tool of Children's Handwriting Scale. The participants were identified as either having an atypical grasp, which was usually, but not always, a quadruped grasp, or they used a dynamic tripod grasp. There were 23 kids in each of these categories. The quadruped grasp is where they hold the pencil with their thumb, index, and middle fingers, and the pencil rests on their ring finger. It can also be called a four-finger grasp. The results of the study indicated that pencil grasp does not have a significant effect on handwriting legibility. However, the length of the writing task seems to have influenced their legibility, regardless of the type of grasp that was used. This indicated there is more of an endurance issue than a pencil grasp issue. They did determine that the kids had better legibility scores on the shorter tasks than the longer ones. The study could suggest that changing a student's pencil grasp to improve legibility may not always be appropriate. As far as grasp development is concerned, this really starts in infancy. A lot of times with school-aged kids, OTs are known for working on handwriting skills. That makes sense because it is a fine motor skill. Before we can get into the details of handwriting, I think we need to back up and go through the typical progression of grasp development. Keep in mind also that we use our vision a lot with this skill. Reaching and grasping with accuracy for toys and later for writing on paper and forming letters correctly all involve vision. So while it seems as simple as grasp development, we start from the very beginning of life with vision development. I'm not going to get too much into all of that, but I wanted to mention that before we can reach for toys or actively grasp toys or objects, we are developing our visual skills, which actually are purposeful at this time. I'm talking about during the first 3 months of life. Some of the visual skills we look for at this age are an infant's ability to track toys that are held up in front of them when they're lying on their back. You move the toy from side to side, and they're able to track it all the way across from left to right and right to left. They can also track it moving up and down. During this time, they're able to start moving their arms when they see a toy, and they can bring their hands together by their chest area. Once the visual tracking has been established, in typical development, they start having the ability to reach purposefully towards toys without actually grabbing them, but maybe just batting at them with their fists, or their hands might be open. If you place a toy in their hand, they can hold on to it purposefully, and the grasp reflex integrates or disappears shortly after that. Think about the progression of all of this, because it is important to keep it in mind for later on with handwriting. Development of fine motor skills happens close to the body first, then farther away from the body once the first part has finished developing. What I mean by this is, we work on figuring out how to get our arms moving randomly at first, and then with purpose. But even when we can move our arms to reach towards a toy purposefully, at first, we still aren't able to actually grab the toy. We can only either hit it with our forearm or our fist, usually. Then as the shoulder and the elbow continue to become more and more proficient, we start to open up our hand even more. We start to see less fisting and more of an open hand in infants, until they are able to finally coordinate the hand along with the rest of the arm to actually grab the toy accurately. So really, when the infant is working on controlling the shoulder, which is how they get their arms active in the first place, this is more of a gross motor skill in a way. They're using large movements to get the arms moving and figuring out how to get them moving towards a specific place eventually. This is key. You need to be able to move the whole arm in order to get the fine detail movements later. I know this is a generalization, and there are people out there with certain physical differences that make all of this work, but I'm talking about this just from an ideal, typical developmental standpoint today, for the sake of keeping it simple. If you look at how they're holding the toys in their hand, at this point, they will be using the ulnar side of their hand. This is the side of your hand where your little finger or pinky finger is, and the object will be down in their palm area, but on that side of the hand. All of the fingers will be closed in a fist position to hold the toy. The next grasp for the infant is just a palmar grasp. This is where the toy is down in the middle of their palm area, and all fingers are closed around like a fist to help hold the item. Both of these developments and grasp happen around 4 to 5 months of age. One important visual skill that should not be skipped over in this discussion is the ability to track a moving object or a person with their eyes, but without moving their head at the same time. For this specific discussion, that skill is very important when we learn how to read and write. When we're adults, we typically don't move our head left and right when reading books or reading things on a computer or tablet screen. It shows that we have good visual scanning, which in general helps with so many other things other than just reading and writing in daily life. This skill usually develops somewhere around 4 to 6 months of age. Continuing with the progression of our reach and grasp development, though, up to this point, around 5 or 6 months, they are reaching with both arms at the same time towards a toy, and they're accurately grasping the toy by opening their hand and coordinating the timing of closing their fingers around the object. Now, they will tend to use the side of their palm closer to where their thumb and index fingers are at this stage. It will involve all of the fingers and thumb, but the object will mainly be in their palm still. Again, the area closer to our body. Then, later, we use our fingertips for grasping, but I'll get to that in just a minute. Starting around 6 months, they are beginning to switch toys between their right and left hands, bang toys on tabletops or other surfaces, and they're reaching more with one hand or the other rather than both hands or arms doing the same thing at the same time. Up until this point, the movements are becoming more purposeful, but are still not completely accurate or fine-tuned. They're still using pretty large or gross motor movements, and the whole arm, including the hand, move as mainly one unit when reaching for things. But the next thing that happens is we start to see them moving their wrist more actively when playing with and holding on to toys. We are starting to see more coordinated movements happening a little farther away from the body. See the pattern here. Let's stop for a second and think about what else is happening around this time. What else are they doing around 6 months of age? Well, by now they've mastered rolling and pushing up on their hands from their tummy, and they're starting to move in circular movements on their tummy to turn in different directions. They're starting to sit independently. And a big one here, the ATNR reflex is becoming or has become integrated or inhibited, so that they're starting to have more control over their arms without having to deal with this reflex anymore. I wanted to mention these gross motor skills, pushing up, rolling, and sitting, because again, the idea of working on those things that are close to your body first before you can become proficient at using things farther away from your body, namely your hands and fingers. In order to sit up independently, infants have to work those core body muscles. They need to get those muscles strong so that they can be stable enough to reach out with their hands and arms to get things without falling over or losing their balance. The next development in grasping skills is using a radial digital grasp. This usually develops by 9 months of age. It is where they continue using the side of their hand where the thumb is, but instead of holding the toy or object in the palm area of their hand, they hold it with their thumb and usually the first two fingers, which are the index and the middle finger. The rest of the fingers might be closed, still back towards the palm, or they could be relaxed and just in an open position during this grasp. The next progression is to hold objects using an inferior pincer grasp, which is where they use their thumb pad and index or first finger to hold the object. The object will be closer towards their hand, but not in the palm of their hand. It will not be at their fingertips yet either, more on the middle of their finger. Both the thumb and the finger will be held in a straight or extended position. It's almost like you just hold your index finger out straight and your thumb pushes against the object to push it against your finger around the middle part of the first finger. Try that. Close your middle ring and pinky fingers on one hand. Put your index finger out straight and your thumb straight. Keep your index finger in place and move your thumb up to push against the index finger while keeping them both extended or straight. When you do that, your thumb basically reaches about the middle of your index finger. That is what I'm talking about with the inferior pincer grasp. Another progression of that is the thumb could be bent And you can hold things in that same place on your index finger using the tip of the thumb. As you can imagine, the next step is generally to use a neat or fine pincer grasp, which is where you hold an object between the thumb tip and the tip of your index finger. The rest of the fingers are usually in a resting or relaxed, slightly open or open position. This neat pincer grasp typically develops by 12 months of age. From here, grasp development is most easily looked at through coloring and handwriting activities. So I'm mainly going to be talking about it in reference to that now. Sometime around 12 to 15 months of age, the child holds a crayon or a marker with their whole hand. They will use a radial cross palmar grasp, which I also call this a pronated whole hand grasp because they are using their whole hand or a fist to hold the marker. And the thumb side of their hand is facing down towards the table. Soon after this grasp, they will transition to what I call just a whole hand grasp, but it's technically called a fisted grasp or palmar supinate grasp. This is where they grab onto the marker, using all of their fingers and thumb to wrap around the whole marker, as in the previous grasp did. But now, when they mark on the paper, their thumb is up at the top and the pinky side of their hand is on the bottom. At this stage, the child will be making some random marks on the paper. They will move the marker around using their whole arm at the shoulder to make it move. They often do not make small, controlled movements yet. They are just large movements, usually all over the paper. The next stage is the palmar grasp or digital pronate grasp. It typically develops between 2 to 3 years, and this is similar to the fisted grasp where the thumb side of the hand is down towards the paper. But they're holding the marker more with their fingers and thumb extended rather than in a tight fist. They will use all of their fingers to help hold the marker still. And at this time, they're still using their shoulder for a lot of the movement. You might see them using their spoon or fork with this grasp also to scoop their food when they're eating. The next stage happens between 3 and 4 years, and it's where they start to hold the marker using a static tripod grasp. Their hand is in a similar position as the previous one, but now they are using 3 fingers for the static tripod grasp, thumb, index, and middle fingers. The pinky side of their hand is closer to the table again for this grasp. This is considered to be an immature grasp because the fingers don't move when they're writing still. There may be some movement happening in the wrist, but still mostly a lot of shoulder movement. The next stage is the final stage of grasp development where the child holds the marker using a dynamic tripod grasp. They hold the marker using their thumb and 2 fingers, with the marker resting on the middle finger. Some people use a version of this with the same thumb and 2 fingers, but holding it with their fingertips and not resting the marker on the middle finger, but just using all 3 fingertips to hold the marker instead. They will be able to move their wrists and fingers with this grasp, so they will start to rest their forearm on the table and just move their forearm and their wrist rather than moving their shoulder like they did before. These are some of the basic types of grasp that kids use that are considered typical grasp development. There are, of course, other types of grasp that can also be used. And we often have to make modifications to their grasp, depending on if they have any developmental delays or physical disabilities that might make the typical grasp too difficult. As with the research study for today, some of the different types of grasp that kids use maybe aren't considered typical, but still could be okay to use. We do need to consider the way they are holding their pencils, because if it is atypical, that could potentially be telling you something. Possibly their intrinsic or small hand muscles are weaker, and they use a different type of grasp for additional base of support to make up for that weakness. This might go along with the research study when they talked about the endurance of the longer writing tasks being an issue. This is one of the reasons why I start by looking at infant development when talking about handwriting. If there are issues with handwriting, we need to back up and see if there is something else going on besides the obvious handwriting being illegible. And finding out maybe are they having weakness in their core muscles. And you might see them laying their head on their hand or on their desk while they're trying to write. and maybe they're slouching in their chair or they're wrapping their legs around the chair legs for support. They could have some vision issues where they have difficulty with recognizing how to form the letters or shapes, or their eyes might be fatigued or tired from already reading earlier in the day or doing other writing tasks too. There could also be some sensory processing aspects as well. I was going to get into handwriting specifically also today, but I kind of went on with grasp development for longer than I thought. So I think I will have a separate show just for handwriting stuff. I would really like to give more examples and suggestions for ways to encourage grasp development and specific activities that can help with handwriting as well. One thing else I wanted to mention that I have added a couple of new things to my website, which is mymidwesttherapy.com. You can now get a discount at a couple of different websites that sell educational and learning toys for kids. I am now an affiliate for them, like I am for Amazon. So you just click on their link through my website, and it's just another way that you can support me. But these are also here to help you because you can get a discount on their products at the same time. Thank you so much for listening.